And good morning to those of you joining us online too. Welcome. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you, Father, for this time that you've gathered us to hear your word. Help us to be reminded about who you are and who we are because of you and your authority. Lord, help us to be honest about the mindset that we bring into this world. And Lord, even as we have been reborn every day in our baptism, help us, Lord, to be born again, not just in renewal and sins forgiven, but also in how we think and perceive in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You must be born again is a statement that Jesus made when he was meeting, you must be born again is a statement that Jesus made when he was meeting with Nicodemus, a chief priest, a Pharisee, one of the religious leaders of the people of Israel. You must be born again. Now, when we hear that expression, born again Christian, what might be something that comes to your mind when you hear born again Christian? What is something, where does that topic often come up when you hear someone is I'm a born again Christian, or born again Christians?
Baptism.
Okay, so you think somebody who's charismatic and perhaps speaking in tongues, that's true, okay? That is an aspect. They might seem more charismatic than we as Lutherans are, okay? Sure. Another aspect is that oftentimes they carry a testimony, and I would never downplay their testimony and their experience of how they felt and what they went through and what brought them to the faith in Jesus, that realization. But one of the things that they claim to have is there was a time and a moment where they were born again, single moment. They were living a life in sin, or something tragic was about to happen, and all of a sudden it stopped. They were rescued from something. And, you know, I've heard some amazing stories from people. People who should have gone to jail, but because the lawyer messed up, they realized that God helped them be free, and they became Christians after that and turned their lives around. People surviving tornadoes hitting their mobile parks in Arkansas and realizing that God was with them. I'm not going to, and love them, and that was their moment. And I'm certainly not going to poo-poo that moment, right? Because everybody has their story, and if they come to faith in Jesus and they believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe that he rose again from the dead, I'm not going to say that it didn't happen that way. Right? But it's usually like one moment in time. And oftentimes, too, born-again Christians, that's a phrase you hear when we are all put into our little categories of how we are supposed to build in our nation too as well, right? It's often not something that is associated with our church body, the Lutheran church body, that phrase, born again Christian. So we're going to talk about what it means to be born again as we look at this text. And this is something that is really kind of amazing when you think about the relationship between Jesus and the religious leaders. So the story is this. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So their religious authority was considered to reign over them, right? So he's considered a ruler of the Jews, not just a priest, but also a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night. Why? It was a secret meeting. He came to Jesus by night. And he says, Rabbi, we. It's not that he has a mouse in his pocket, but he says, we know that you are a teacher come from God. And who's the we that we're talking about here? The Pharisees. The Pharisees know that Jesus is a teacher come from God. So how terrible is it as we go through this story of Lent, as we go through the season of Lent, we're going to hear about how the Pharisees plotted against Jesus. They sent it was them and the chief priests who sent Jewish soldiers to arrest him and ultimately bring him to trial and bring him to trial before Pilate, where he would be crucified. They were jealous of him. And yet Nicodemus says, we know that you're a teacher come from God. Now, we can say, man, those Pharisees are awful people. But then we have to also look at our own hearts and our own pride. How hard is it for us to accept, maybe when we're wrong, and we know we're wrong, and we don't want to admit it. How hard is it for us to accept that, you know what, I need to take this moment and learn from it? That's a challenge. It's almost like a sin in our society, in a sense, to not be right the first time around. That's how we act. Yes, I will admit, I myself like to be right the first time. And I don't want to be wrong. And I don't want to hear how I'm wrong. You know what? That's a first commandment type issue. And what is the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Proverbs is littered with phrases and verses of wisdom that talk about how wise you are if you can respond from a rebuke and learn from it. So yes, it's not, you're not stupid for being wrong or not knowing anything. In fact, wisdom comes from learning from things. So, what are we afraid of? Are we afraid of losing something? I don't know why the Pharisees had such a hard time realizing that Jesus was the Son of God, or not the Son of God, but from God, other than the fact that they must have just been jealous because they felt like it brought them down somehow. Remember, God is sovereign over all things. He called those men into their ministry. And yet, they were afraid of the one that he sent. And Nicodemus is meeting Jesus in secret. And says, we know you are a teacher come from God, because no one could perform the signs that you perform if you weren't from God. What does Jesus get accused of, though? How many of you know in the other Gospels what happens in the other accounts when the Pharisees see Jesus' miracles? Who do they accuse him of being in league with? Satan. They say, oh. So they can't even deny the miracles or the signs. They know something amazing is happening. And they're basically accusing Jesus of witchcraft. He Because they're being stubborn. And this is why Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so he's not just talking about a renewal of the mind. He's talking about a renewal of everything, how we see everything. So he is talking about a renewal of the mind and the spirit. That's why he said we have to be born again. Or as Yoda says in Star Wars Episode 5, you must unlearn what you have learned. Let's go with the words of Jesus, though, instead, okay? You must be born again. And trying to use earthly words to understand, you have to start anew. You have to start over. And Nicodemus, struggling to understand that, says to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And the image of that is, don't go there. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit." I think it's interesting here. One of the things that John battles against is this idea that was going through the church that everything that was created and everything that is material was evil. And that's not the point. The point is that Jesus came to reclaim his whole creation. And so he's trying to point out that it's interesting that Jesus uses water and the Spirit to make people reborn. Part of his creation to wash and renew us. Because these people who are saying that materialism, all things material were bad and broken, believe that when Jesus died on the cross, his spirit was released and he left the old sinful part behind. And so we must release our spirits away from the material world because it's our flesh that is evil and all this kind of junk. But Jesus is actually using part of his creation along with his spirit. And so when he's talking about being born again with water and the Spirit, what do we think he's talking about here?
Baptism.
And yes, baptism is something that Christians, it's a big day. And born again Christians use that as a public proclamation, which it is. Being baptized is a public proclamation, but it's more than that. In your baptisms, your spirit is actually reborn every single day. And so being born again isn't just a one-time thing. Because one of the things that you might struggle with if you are a born-again Christian in the terms that that your average American sees, what happens when you fall in sin again? Well, did my baptism take? Does Jesus still love me? How could I fall again and sin again if I'm not, how could I do this if I was saved, right? I thought I was past this. I had this moment where God spoke to me and I believed. Why am I still sinning? In our baptisms, Christ's mercies are new every day. And this is why, even though you might not remember your baptism, because many of you were baptized as babies, if not in the Lutheran church, you were probably baptized in the Catholic church, right? Because we all know that the best Lutherans are fallen Catholics, right?
Amen.
I got an amen out of that. All right. I should say renewed Catholics, right? And this is one of the reasons why we don't, if you weren't baptized in a Lutheran church, but you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we don't re-baptize you. Because God's work is perfect. And you are reborn. You have a clean slate every day. And it's with that clean slate that we want to change our thinking too and realize that there are some things in our own minds, some things that we put way above God as far as priorities are concerned. And we need to look past those concerns and look to Jesus. Yes, there are problems throughout the world that are just immeasurable. There are so many things that are wrong and broken. We were in a country whose ethos, meaning its kind of core beliefs, came from Christian ideals. That doesn't mean that every single writer of the Constitution or the people who were behind the Declaration of Independence, it doesn't mean that they were all Christians. It doesn't mean that this nation isn't without sin. But largely, who we are and the freedoms that we enjoy are because of Christianity. The church has done more good in the world than harm. The things that we take so many things for granted today. And the sad thing is that the people who are attacking the church and telling lies about the church and tearing us down and saying that we are the ones full of hate. We are the ones who, we are fascist. Perhaps alt-right is another thing that the church is sometimes called now. All these phrases that are thrown at us to bring us down because of our core beliefs. What they don't realize is they are ushering in more pain than they could possibly believe. And our knee-jerk reaction that we want to do in our mind's eye is lash out right back. I'm not saying don't stand firm in your faith. What I am saying is, what did Jesus do in the midst of Pharisees who attacked him and accused him of being in league with Satan? What did Jesus do in the midst of disciples who told him, no, you can't die on the cross. That's not supposed to be how it's going to happen. You're supposed to rule and overthrow the Roman Empire and reestablish your kingdom, Jesus. What did Jesus do after feeding 5,000 people and they came to him and said, we want to make you king? He stayed faithful to the mission of his Father. He fought for the soul. He fought for the things of the Spirit. I love our nation. I love living here. I probably can guess, like I said in the Bible today, I can probably guess how many of you have voted the last few elections. And I've probably voted the same way as you have. But I want people to know before that I am for Jesus. And that Jesus is for me. And that Jesus came to love the world. Not to be its judge. And yes, there are people who will reject Jesus and stand judged. But the reason why he came was to save us. Remember that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I am fearful of sending my own children to schools. That's the reason might want to raise the body homeschool because of the garbage that is being taught to children. And yet, instead of worrying about the world, I need to rest assured that they are going to hear about a Savior who loves them. We can look at the world and we can tremble. We can try to fight back using the same ways of the world. Or we can look to Jesus first. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying don't stand for your principles. What I am reminding you of is this. There was an empire that was, the capital was in Rome. Its people were ruled by an emperor. They were the tops of the world as far as power and influence. The church changed the face of the world. Not through voting. They didn't have a vote. But by loving God and by loving their neighbor. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so as we are born again every single day, be born again looking to Jesus instead of looking to all the problems. Yes, there's responsibilities, there's to-do lists, there's things to get done. Look to Jesus. Do not be distracted. Look to Christ. Trust in him. Instead of being burdened by the world, look at your life as an opportunity to be that salt and that light that God has called you to be. Because you are saved. You are loved. And those Pharisees who knew that Jesus was from God, that same group of Pharisees who did condemn him to the cross, which, oh, by the way, Jesus knew exactly what was going on. And he was sovereign over that situation. He knew he had to die on the cross. There were Pharisees who met with those disciples in the book of Acts, talking about what the church would look like going forward, meaning that many Pharisees did turn and believe in Christ, because Jesus came to save them too. And so when you have your enemies in this world, remember that Jesus loves them as well. And that's tough. That's hard. As part of this being reborn every single day and renewing our minds. It's not just about my own personal salvation, but it's about being an emissary of God's kingdom. You are born again every single day. The devil's going to come and remind you of that sin you committed maybe 10, 5, years, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Maybe that sin you committed yesterday. The devil's going to come and remind you of that. You are born again. You are renewed. The devil's going to try to tell you that the world is lost and broken, and there's no hope for the church. You are born again. And the church isn't going anywhere. You are saved by a God who loves you. He is not your judge. He is your Savior. Look to him. And he will get us through this world and sustain us. And take us to everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards your hearts and minds, and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.